Welcome and bienvenidos. I'm Nick Finelli, host of the Charlotte FC podcast, where we talk beyond the pitch with the fascinating people that work for and around the club. Today on the show, I have a conversation with Charlotte FC defender Nathan Byrne. Nate's effort and intensity on the pitch are two of the characteristics I have admired since he joined the Crown. I think you will really enjoy learning more about Nathan Byrne as much as I did. It's time for the Charlotte FC podcast.
Block, Tuzbeck's going to get it back. Westwood, rather Vargas, the touch, the finish!
Goal!
The Alba, whipped in, good ball!
Oh!
Christian Kalina, a save to save the season!
Crown belongs to Charlotte! And Charlotte FC, if the results hold, have clinched its first playoff berth in club history!
So I start off all my interviews with having the person give an elevator pitch. So an elevator pitch, basically, like, who are you? Like, how do you introduce yourself to other people?
Nathan Byrne, 31 years old, professional footballer, if you want to call me that. And happy, go lucky guy.
All right. Well, welcome. So I'm really interested a lot of times in the players and how they grew up and how they started. So you probably have some good stories. First of all, you grew up at St. Albans, is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like growing up there?
Well, I came into football at around 5 or 6, and it was my mum who made me go. I didn't want to go, but she said I was a lazy child and all I wanted to do was watch TV and eat snacks. So she wanted me to have some sort of activity. I was a very shy kid, so I didn't want to do anything new. Mm-hmm. So she made me go down to train with St. Albans City, just Sunday league, grassroots football. Mm-hmm. And she, originally after the first time, I didn't touch the ball. I just stood on the outside of the field, pretty much watching the game go by. Yeah. And at the end, she said, oh, did you have fun? And I said, yeah, and I want to go back. Even though I didn't kick a football, I just watched. So I got into it then. Was at St. Albans City until 9 years old. And then I got scouted by Tottenham the first time. I was at Tottenham as a striker for 2 years.
And was that kind of in the like the youth their, part of it?
Yeah.
Kind of like these guys
pretty much, yeah. Here, their so. Academy, under-9s and under-10s. And at that point, they were at their old training ground, which was actually at the stadium in the middle of London. So I was finishing school at 3, rushing there to train at 5:36, and I wasn't getting home until past 10 o'clock.
This is every day?
This was 3 times a week.
Wow.
So I was there for 2 years, and my mum saw that I wasn't really enjoying it. So she just asked me one day, do you want to go back to St. Albans City and not do this? And I was like, yeah. So mm-hmm. I left, went back to St. Albans City, playing with my friends again, enjoying it. And then I end up getting re-scouted under 14s. Mm-hmm. And then by then I was playing right back. So, and then from then, at that point I wanted to play football. So,
do you think it was the position or you think it's just a combination of maturity?
No, it was definitely more the age I was at. I wanted to play football. At that age, I wanted to play football just to have fun. It was, mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it being a career. So when it was taken that seriously at such a young age, I just didn't really enjoy it.
Yeah. And so then you actually were signed by them. Like that was your first professional at Tottenham. You didn't get any actual appearances, but you got to train and see what it was like to be in that first team atmosphere. Did that shape you in any way as a player?
I'd probably say more so the whole ethos of the club at that time was as soon as you're a professional and you're old enough to go out and play men's football on loan. As soon as I turned 17, I went out on loan, on my first loan. And that's sort of what throws you into the real world and really makes you become a player, in my eyes, is playing games at a high level in men's football. And when you go on loan, you go away from your family, your friends, everything you're used to, your comfort zone. So it's sort of like a sink or swim,
yeah.
Which I think is a good thing.
Especially for a shy kid, right?
Yeah. Well, at that point, I wasn't shy. I'd grown up by then. It was more when I was younger, I was shy. But yeah, I think that's what really molds a lot of English players so quickly, because you sort of have to work it out quite young. By 16, 17, they're treating you like they would a 35-year-old experienced professional. So
expectation
is there regardless of your age or what you look like. Or so if you're there, it's sort of you should be good enough or you're not. So yeah, I think that's what helped me.
And you've been in lots of places. Most of the time at, and I'm going to pronounce these, probably botch these, but Swindon Town?
Yep.
Wigan?
Yep.
And then Derby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything from those clubs and those experiences kind of help you know what kind of player you are, but also know like how to be a professional?
I think more than anything, it was probably Tottenham that created that. And I think my mentality and my attitude has pretty much been the same throughout my career. So I feel like by 17, 18, I had a very experienced way of looking at things. Probably more because they do treat you, they're quite tough on you quite young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were in our youth team, we did 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And yeah. You only train 2 or 3 hours of that.
Wow.
So a lot of it's, you do gym, you do studying, you look at football, you clean the dressing rooms, you clean the showers, you wash the first team boots. It's not like you go there and life's great, you've made it.
Right.
They still like, you've done nothing. It's in their, how they treat you, it's like you haven't done anything. You have to earn it, you have to work for it. So yeah, the days were long, very long. But I think that's more what molded me into having the sort of attitude and mentality that I've got now.
So what do you feel like you did to earn this, like to get the skill level to where you are now? Reps?
Worked harder than a lot of people. I think even up to youth team level, I probably wasn't looked at as the fastest or the most technically gifted or the best defender or the best attacker. It was just, I was probably middle of the pile.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the right attitude is key. Daily, not just here and there. So I think if you've got the right attitude all the time, then when it comes down to it, you've got a good chance.
Well, you've been a part of this club for quite some time now and kind of been a staple there, back there, right back. Kind of almost when we announced the signing of Yuri, it's almost like, I don't know if other people noticed, but I felt like you kicked it into another gear. It's like, oh, they're sending someone else in here. I need to really prove myself that I'm going to be out there every week in that starting 11. How does competition help motivate you? And what do you do differently knowing that there's somebody like right there behind you that could take your spot?
First of all, I think if you've played for long enough, you know that any team that's successful has competition. If you don't, then you're probably a team that's going to struggle, especially in football and the MLS and where I came from, the Championship. Because it's such a physical league and physically demanding league, you need 2 players in each position who are good enough, first of all. So I think having the competition is a sign of a good club. And secondly, I think I wouldn't have played half as many of the games I've played. I don't know how many it is. It's close to 500 probably. If I didn't sort of back myself and believe I'm good enough. So I never look at who we sign as, oh, if they're better at me at this or better. I always back myself to play. And if I play, I back myself to stay in the team. So it's just sort of more inner confidence more than what's around me, if that makes sense.
Right. You talked about your professionalism. You've been at 10 clubs in 14 years. How do you approach, like, you have new coaches, you have new players. How do you approach either bringing someone into the club and making them feel like part of the team? And then if they are new, you know, like a new gaffer or something like that, how do you
besides your play on the pitch, how do you make yourself known or get them to know you and what you what makes you tick?
Time is one thing, and I know football, you don't really get that in a lot of the job roles as a footballer or as a staff member of football, but just adapting pretty much to your surroundings. You have to do that anyway in football because chances are year to year you will have a lot of changes in most teams, even if you're successful or have a really bad year. Mm-hmm. I've already played with, I don't know, 35 players here and I've been here 18 months. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to adapt very quickly. And when it comes to the manager, like I said, it's more about myself rather than who the manager is. And I think whatever a manager asks me to do, I try and do it to the best of my capabilities. And hopefully that's enough to stay in the team.
So what differences have you been asked this year than previous years that you want to kind of point out?
I think as a team, we're getting told to defend more as a unit rather than individually, to cover each other more. So nobody has a set player they need to mark, but more as a whole team.
The shape
is more what defends rather than the individual. And personally, my position, I've been given probably a bit more freedom attacking-wise. I'm allowed to get forward more and help out the attack when the ball's on my side, which I enjoy. I like to get forward and do both sides of the game. But no, he's kept a lot of the structural things the same, formation similar. And we're also allowed to play less one-dimensionally. Mm-hmm. If wherever the space is, we try and find it. So if we can go forward in one pass, more over doing six or seven passes, then let's do it. So it's more adapting to how the team in front of us are playing and trying to find their weaknesses.
Has it helped having the kind of same core of defensive players together as far as communication and stuff, and especially since you are covering and helping each other?
Yeah, definitely. I think defensively in the team, you see successful teams, they don't have that many changes game to game in a season. It's only sort of where needed or if someone's had a really poor performance or you've suffered a really bad loss. But no, consistency, especially in a team defensively, is massive because building relationships on and off the field helps.
Yeah. Speaking of that, on and off the field relationships, you have been named a player's player of the year three times that I know of, possibly more. Can you talk about like what that kind of means? Because to me, that's an honor that the players are respecting you at such a high level that you're basically like almost like a coach, but also a motivator and all those things. What do you take from that?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the nicest thing you could get given, to be honest, as a footballer. For me, I think, because like you say, fans or other players only see you for the 90 minutes that they play against you, or see your 45 games you play a season, mm-hmm. on a video. But yeah, your teammates and your staff members and the people who are around you see you every day on and off the field. So yeah, to me, it's a great honor. I try to be a good guy and help people as much as possible. Yeah.
Are you like a locker room kind of kidder, jabber at people and kind of get people kind of in a loose mood? Like, what are you?
Yeah, I just try to make people happy as much as possible. I think a good environment is so underlooked in sports in general. And I think if the environment that you come to every day and the relationships that you have off the field with your teammates and your staff is good, then you'll win more games. I think that's a fact. So, yeah.
So who here at Charlotte have you kind of had like more of a closer relationship? Of course, obviously here, you know, when you're playing and doing things, you're kind of with everybody, but maybe off the field kind of stuff. What do you?
Well, I'm very close with the other Brits, Ashley Westwood and Scott, naturally, just because we know the same things, like the same things, have the same banter. I'm very close with Kerwin Vargas. A lot of people are surprised at that because I can't speak Spanish and he can't really speak English. But we're very, very close. He's like my little brother. So yeah, I'd say they're my three closest.
Yeah, I kind of noticed Kerwin seems to have a bond with all the Brits.
Yeah, he does. No, he's a really good kid and he's got a lot of talent.
Now, did you have a mentor player that you looked up to as you were going up in the ranks there?
I wouldn't say so. Probably, as you saw, I've played for a lot of teams and I've had a lot of changes. So it's not like I've been at the same club for 5 or 6 years. But I try and learn, growing up, I try to learn from whoever was the most accomplished, most experienced player in every team I played for. And I think along the way, I've learned a lot from a whole different group of people at different clubs. But
what about from afar, like watching on television or something? There's certain players that you're like, I want to see how they do this.
No, I don't even want to say it anymore because of what he's going through at the moment. But my hero growing up was Danny Alves, and the way he played, that's who I wanted to play like. And I was a real big Barcelona fan, young when they were unbeatable and beating everyone. But that everyone asked me, "Who's your team? Do you support?" And I never really had a team in England. My dad was Man United through and through, but I didn't get the love for any team that much. I never really understood it.
Yeah.
But yeah, watching Barcelona and how Alves used to play was pretty much my idol of a footballer.
Nice. And then you talked about Kerwin. Is there any other the young players that you've kind of, or has kind of gravitated to you as kind of you being the mentor to them?
Yeah, I think as a whole, the young boys here are very willing to learn, and us more experienced players are willing to teach them as much as we know and as much as we can help them. So I think there's a good balance in general. And I think obviously we have Nympha, who's extremely young, mm-hmm. With so much potential. If I was going to say someone, it would be him, because he's still a boy,
yeah.
You know. So he needs guidance and he needs the right people around him and not to be hyped up too quickly, because I think that's very important in football. Let him do what he's doing and learn. Because, yeah, I've seen a lot of players over the years who struggle when they have everyone expecting the world mm-hmm. of them. So, yeah, he's got a lot of potential and a bright future ahead of him.
Do you have a moment in your career that you could, like, play over and over, or like you sit in your head like, man, I was really on that day, or that was an awesome moment?
Yeah, I've got a few that would stand out. I scored a hat trick from wing back.
That's a nice
time. And that was the first game of the season, and I ended up getting my move to Wolves from Swindon from that, I think.
Yeah.
That was a nice moment. Playoff semi-final. It was 7-6 on aggregate, the game, over two legs. Yeah, it was a good one. And I thankfully scored the winner for 2-1. So that was a nice moment. And then promotion, getting promoted with Wigan and being champions. Yeah, it was a great day. And we only became champions on the last day, because there was a Blackburn were fighting with us the whole season. So
that's even better.
It went down to the last minute of the last game. So that was a nice feeling.
Now, did you play at Wigan with Anthony Robinson?
Yes, I did, yeah.
He was a young guy then too.
Yeah, we got a great relationship still. I went to Las Vegas with him for a stag do. Yeah, a couple times. He's a great guy and he's doing really well.
Yeah, he is. He's been a fireball for them. And then you also, I think at Wolves, did you play with Jordan Graham?
Yes, he's still my best friend.
I was going to say, I noticed you sent some notes out to him on social, so... Just wondering, like, that kind of relationship, like, how did, because you were only there, like, maybe a year or two together.
Yeah, nine months together.
Wow.
And we weren't actually that close when we were there together. But as soon as I left, I'm not sure how or why, but we just stayed in touch. And, yeah, he's pretty much my best friend. And we speak every day now.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And he came over to Charlotte last year for a week.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he loved it. He loved it.
Yeah, it's good to have people close to you around there. What is the scariest thing you've ever done? could be football or not football.
I got knocked out. That was scary. Clean in the air. That was scary. That's what I'd say. Yeah, headed the ball. Someone headed my head, and yeah, I was asleep for before I hit the ground.
Oh gosh.
Okay. Yeah. That was probably my scariest moment in football.
And then how long? Like you woke up almost, or you were knocked out for so long you didn't even know what's going on till.
No, I woke up. And this was in COVID, so there was no fans, and I was in the physio that had glass panels looking down on the field, and it was only 25 minutes gone.
Oh gosh.
So I'm looking down, laying on a physio bed, and I'm asking the physio, why am I not playing? I didn't have a clue.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part about being a professional footballer?
The change. Probably like moving your family, being away from your family. Yeah, just the uncertainty, I say.
You miss them, right? They're not,
of course. Yeah.
What about, what's like the biggest like rush or rise that you get from being a footballer?
I'd say the day to day.
You really like the journey, huh?
Yeah.
Like getting into the grind.
More off the field than on it. I just enjoy working closely with a lot of different characters. That's probably my biggest, nothing to do with football or the on-field stuff. It's more every day you're surrounded by 60 different people, all in your environment. It's not like you go to the office and you're close with 5 or 6 people.
Yeah.
You can talk to 60 different people a day and yeah.
And then you're all collectively trying to do the same thing.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
A shared experience
exactly.
Of a goal. What would you like to do that you haven't done yet?
Travel the world without playing football.
Without playing
to
football.
Actually see the world.
Right, like enjoy
not,
it.
Not
right.
A hotel and a stadium.
Yeah, got it. And what is something you wish fans would know about you that they don't know?
Nothing. It's not. I'm private. I don't want them to know anything.
Right.
I want them to like me
for
how I play. You know?
Yeah.
And for what my teammates say about me. I don't...
Let that do the talking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. We got one more minute left.
It's stoppage time!
These are just quick answer questions. Do you have a must-do ritual or habit you do each day?
No.
No? All right. If you...
Sorry, morning coffee.
Morning coffee?
Yeah.
What kind?
I have to. I have a variety, but flat white. I'll go with.
Okay. If you were to have any other career, what would it be and why?
Music producer.
Ooh. Regular music?
I love music, yeah.
What kind?
Everything.
You just listen to everything?
I'm a fiend for new music. Any genre, if I like it, I like it. I'd spend a lot of time looking for new songs, finding new songs.
Yeah. So you're going to produce Scott?
Who knows? He's a singer-songwriter, so there's not much I can do for him.
Favorite unplugged activity, obviously, outside of football? Something else you do that away from football that you just like to do?
Gaming.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have a specific game?
Call of Duty.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. Do you have a go-to snack when you're watching someone else play, not yourself?
I like a burger.
You like a
I
burger?
I love a burger.
Do they do okay over here?
Yeah, they do great. They do just fine. Yeah.
All right. Anything particular on the burger? Because there's lots of things.
No, I just like a good burger.
Okay. Do you find starting a project or finishing one more gratifying?
Finishing.
All right. Last one. What recharges you?
Family.
Sweet. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
How can you not like Nathan Byrne even more after hearing that? He brings joy and professionalism at the highest level to every player and team he is a part of. After listening to Nate talk about how he approaches being a footballer, I am not surprised at all that he and Kerwin have developed a strong relationship. Playing against Kerwin in training and battling makes sense, and Kerwin being a younger player, they know each other better. As much as Nate enjoys playing football, you can see he really enjoys people and values the moments he spends with each one of them, and he lives in the moment. I continue also to be impressed with all of the people at Charlotte FC and the culture that has been created and shown at every level, and specifically with quality people like Nathan Burke. As always, thanks for listening to the Charlotte FC podcast. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to our podcast and follow us on X, Instagram, and YouTube at CLTFC Podcast. Enjoy match day. We will see you in New England.